You have tuned in to Open Mic on CJSF Radio, broadcasting on 90.1 FM from Burnaby Mountain, BC.
Good Saturday morning. You are listening to the Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Kira, and we are broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Coquitlam First Nations. Really special show today. I had the absolute pleasure of speaking with Jesse Brillin and Marla Wiley Brillin, who are two incredible artists who currently have a show on view at the Bill Reed Gallery of Northwest Coast Art. This is a show called The Art of Dimension, which is described as a vibrant celebration of Haida metalwork practices and a powerful artistic affirmation of Indigenous knowledge sharing across generations. This exhibition is on view at the gallery from July 4th until October 15th. I have gone and visited the exhibition, and it was honestly a highlight of my summer. It is incredibly beautiful and well worth a trip into the Bill Reed Gallery. And I had a wonderful conversation with the artists a few weeks ago about their work, about their collaboration as artists, and about artistic lineages and sharing of knowledge and skills across generations. It was really, really wonderful, and I'm super excited to share that with you today. So that will be the first thing that we hear on the show today. And then we'll follow that up with our, you know, our regular programming, some music, before I let you all go off into your hopefully wonderful Saturday. So without further ado, here is my interview with Jesse Brillin and Marla Wiley Brillin. Welcome. It's so lovely to see you both. So for those listening, in as many or as few words as you would like, could you please introduce yourselves?
My name is Jesse Brillin. My Haida name is Skilhau. And we're from the Eagle Clan and Skidigit, Haida-Gwaii.
My name is Marla Wiley Brillin. My Haida name is Hathling Stow, which means sunbeam breaking through the storm clouds. And we're from the Lenet Saudas Eagle Clan. Happy to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining me. I had the joy of visiting the exhibition yesterday and spending a good hour and a half there just taking everything in. You've both worked on an exhibition that's on view at the Bill Reed Gallery of Northwest Coast Art at the moment, and it's on until October 15th. The exhibition is titled The Art of Dimension, and it features copper, gold, and silver carving, textiles, and wood sculptural pieces. And it features both of your work, as I mentioned before, and it's very much, the pieces seem to be in conversation with each other, and there is a thematical kind of through line of highlighting intergenerational knowledge sharing and familial links. I was wondering if you could speak a little bit more about this aspect of the work and the exhibition being something about like intergenerational knowledge sharing and the ways we pass knowledge and culture through lineages.
Something we've been talking about with the art of dimension is obviously physically the art is very dimensional, but also the dimensions of the relationship of, like you said, intergenerational knowledge and my uncle teaching me and teaching each other in some regard as well. And also the dimension of our cultural objects. Some of the pieces in the show were made for our first clan feast in 150 years. That was held last year because the first bit, like we had the first show in Haida-Gwaii at the Haida-Gwaii Museum. And then the next day we had our cultural feast. So some of those objects were used in that. And so the dimension of also the cultural aspect of, it's not just art, it's also functional and we use it for our culture as well. So also the dimension of culture and art and the complexity of that as well.
How did the mentorship or knowledge sharing relationship build between you two?
Well, like myself, I think it started for me when I was really young. I started drawing Haida art when I was probably 7, 8 years old, and she was pretty artistic right from the get-go too. So, and she knew it when she was really young that she wanted to be an artist as well. So it was pretty cool to for her to pick it up, because I got two nephews too, and they have zero interest in the art.
It's great to have someone to be able to share that with.
Yeah.
I can relate absolutely. So yeah, kind of moving in the same direction, there is yeah, a lot of space given in this exhibition to acknowledging and expressing gratitude for mentorship, as well as like connection and guidance. And I wanted to ask kind of the what is the importance of highlighting the importance of that gratitude in the exhibition. I noticed in a lot of the like artist statements accompanying pieces, there was always time taken to express gratitude. And what is the importance of that recognition for you both?
Well, it's really important to me because I wouldn't have got into it if it wasn't for the work of Bill Reid and past Haida masters, and then the mentorships I had with artist Don Yeomans, who's just unbelievable. Him and his wife are just amazing Haida artists, and so I got to work with him. He was like the first person I got to actually work with, and I learned so much in a pretty short period of time with him. And then, I took a break for a couple years, and I ended up moving to Hazleton, and I spent 10 years working with Philip Janzi. And after Bill Reid had passed on, Philip Janzi was probably the next best Northwest Coast jeweler on the coast. He was amazing. And so I got to spend 10 years working with him, and he helped me achieve my goals and dreams in what I do. And yeah, so it's just important that it's important that we're grateful to those that have helped us to get to where we are.
And Marlo, I noticed through these artist blurbs through the exhibition that you've had a gift of mentorship both from your uncle, which we've talked about a little bit already, but also your Kwok Kwok family members, as well as the artist Richard Sumner. How is receiving this mentorship from like multiple artists and family members and also people across different nations impacted your practice?
Like my uncle said, like you wouldn't have got to where you are without them. And well, especially because I haven't really spent a lot of time just working by myself on projects and working on my own form. Like nothing would have come to fruition without the people helping me along, because like my one bentwood box, like I've never steamed a box and bent it out of one piece or done any of that stuff. So like Richard had a huge piece in that. So like and my partner Carver, he always helps me in every piece to help me get like to try to capture my vision, because like I'm so new at carving that I wouldn't be able to do what I do without them at this point in my art career. So
Wonderful. Yeah. And what brought you to carving as a medium?
Well, my mom ended up getting a grant for a bunch of cedar panels to be made up for us, and so me and my uncle designed a panel and carved it together for my first carving. And since that panel, my partner has helped me with the carving since on from that, and really helped me in that capacity, because he's also a carver. He's a Kwok Kwok carver.
You mentioned before that some of the works that were featured in this exhibition are ceremonial pieces, and you've both been involved in the reestablishment of some ceremonial traditions. What was the impact for you both of creating these pieces for ceremony and to honor family and familial lineages?
Well, for me, I created a dogfish mask to be danced at our clan feast, and that was really special because I got to start it in Comox, and then I got to finish it on our territory and Skitigit, which was really special and really emotional because our family hasn't done anything cultural in that capacity for since colonization, essentially. So it's just a lot of firsts, you know, finishing a piece in Haida Gwaii, getting to finish my first mask, and then I danced it at our clan feast, which was really awesome and quite emotional as well. So
yeah, and well, my brother-in-law Andy Everson, he's a chief. So he, in marrying my sister, our family had to give him and his family a dowry, and they had to give us a dowry for marrying her as well. So the copper shield and the frontlet were gifts to Andy for our clan's dowry to him. And then he, at the feast, gave, I believe it was 400 blankets away with money pinned to them all, and gave them to all the witnesses of the wedding. That was the day after the opening of our exhibition in Haida Gwaii. So it was really cool.
That's really wonderful. And does it feel, how does it feel to have pieces that were so personal and so related to family and ceremony be exhibited in a gallery?
Well, I think too that it's not like for us, like those pieces will be kept in our family, and it's not, they're not pieces for sale. So it's something that we get to share our experience of our cultural ceremony and revitalizing certain aspects of our clan, and also new ceremonies that haven't been done in a very long time as well. So kind of sharing more of an educational piece in that sense is nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And I had I put a pendant and bracelet that I basically wear every day in there. So they're very personal to me, but I'm ready to let them go. So I'm just going to make myself new ones, and I'm going to let those ones go after the exhibition. So.
Really interesting. Thank you for sharing that. I know we talked a little bit, Marlo, about what drew you to carving as one of the mediums that you work in, but there are many other additional mediums that are like featured in this exhibition. I'm curious, I guess I'll start with Jesse because I haven't talked to you about your medium yet, but what drew you to work with metals, and what keeps you in love with working in that medium?
Well, I think, you know, it was Bill Reed's body of work that really was inspirational, I think, to all Haida artists, because he really evolved our jewelry to a really high level by learning techniques like repoussé, which is what I do. And, you know, I since I was really young, and I really was drawn to his metalwork. When I finished high school, I was given a repoussé bracelet from my family that was made by Don Yeomans, and to hold it and to wear it, it was really incredible for me. And I knew right as soon as I had it in my hand, I knew it was something I wanted to learn, because before that I never really had a chance to hold a piece of jewelry that was sculpted like that. And there was no turning back for me after that. I just knew that was something that I really wanted to do. And there wasn't a lot of Haida artists doing it. There was only been a handful. And it was something that Bill Reed used to say to my mother all the time, is like, why don't they do repoussé? Because, you know, it just brings the jewelry to a whole nother level. And it's my love and joy doing that, because I really love the, you know, I begin with a flat piece of metal and I bring it to life. And that's what I love to do. It's just, it's amazing to see how things progress. And sometimes I just wing it and start sculpting and just see how things turn out. So I don't always have a big plan on pieces. Sometimes I just let it evolve and grow as I keep hammering on it. So
I think that's an underrated way to approach creativity and making. It doesn't always have to be planned. Sometimes the most amazing things come out of improvisation and just what you feel.
Yeah.
And I know that you also do work in carving. Does it feel similar to the metal work that you've been doing in terms of taking a flat surface and building it into something that's living?
Well, to be honest, I don't do a lot of wood carving. Marlo, I think she's already carved more pieces in wood than I have. And like, I've really kind of stuck to jewelry. A lot of it had to do with the space. Like I didn't really have the space for it too, but it was just, I'm letting her take the reins on that, and now she's helping me in that aspect, so it's kind of cool that way.
That's fantastic. And yeah, Marlo, we've talked a little bit about your carving work already, but there were also some, I believe there was a textile piece that you were involved in making, or both of you were involved in making. Is that not, am I getting that wrong?
my mom helped.
It was your mom. Okay.
Yeah. The headdress, the rabbit fur and the ermine. Mm-hmm. And then sewed on the sea lion whiskers, and then he did the frontlet. Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. Just, thank you for correcting me.
No worries.
Well, she does work with, she does the screen printing for Totem Design House. She started when she was 14, and that's kind of how my sister's business started. I gave her one of my sketchbooks, and she started printing t-shirts when she was 14. And now we print all kinds of clothing and home decor things. And it's amazing. We have a great team, and we all collaborate on a lot of things. So it's really fun.
Mm-hmm. Collaboration is a great way to make things. It always breeds incredible, I don't know, innovations, things that wouldn't exist otherwise. Mm-hmm. I noticed in the exhibition that I believe is you, Jesse, that was doing some interesting work with kind of expanding the possibilities of, maybe that's not the right way to put it, but you're looking at casting carvings into polymer. And mm-hmm. I'm really curious about that. How did that process come about for you?
There's been a few other artists that have been doing it for a while. And the main man who does the big artist's pieces that cast them, he actually got a hold of me about a year and a half ago because he wanted a ring, actually. And in chatting, I sent him a photo of my cedar panel, and he said, oh, that would look great casted in Forton. And I had seen other pieces that were casted. Well, my old teacher, Don Yeomans, had done quite a few pieces in that at Forton. And after talking with Jack Gibson from Gibson Fine Arts on Sunshine Coast, we made an arrangement to try it out. And I think it turned out really cool. And I'm excited for the possibilities of that. And it's really neat because he has a lot of different finishes that he can do and things. So it was him that reached out to me, which is how it kind of all happened, which was really neat.
Do you have ideas of where you want it to go with this kind of polymer casting of the carvings?
I don't see myself doing a lot of it because I don't really carve wood that much. I think Marlo might in the future, though, because he got to see her big panel before it went to the museum, and he was really blown away at how good it was, and he was really quite impressed. So I'm sure he'd be open to working with her. He doesn't take on a lot of artists. He only works with a handful of artists. So I think her pieces have so much depth that it really, I think he really was really impressed with her work. So I think it'll probably be her more than I doing the Forton in the future. I plan on doing larger metal sculpture is what I hope to start doing in the near future.
That's really exciting. I'm looking forward to seeing both of those things and pretty much anything from both of you. I was in awe of both of your work. It's an incredible exhibition. For anyone listening, please go visit. I'll restate, it's called The Art of Dimension. It is on view from July 4th until October 15th at the Billery Gallery of Northwest Coast Art, which is in downtown Vancouver at 639 Hornby Street. And we're pretty much hitting the end of the interview here. Is there anything that feels like it was left unsaid, things you'd like to share with people that are listening that hasn't been given an opportunity to be said yet?
I think, I hope lots of people go to check it out and put a lot of love it's a lot of hard work. I didn't get to where I was from. You know, I put in a lot of hours and it's hard. It's hard. It's not exactly easy to do. I'm having to use have to use reading glasses and an optic visor to see what I'm doing. And the tediousness of being hunched over a bench for many hours every day is kind of physically demanding. And I find it actually harder than commercial fishing at times. It's harder on my body, but I'm just grateful. We're both extremely grateful to have our work exhibited at the Bill Reid Museum, because he was definitely one of our heroes growing up. So, and actually had the privilege of, you know, spending time with him in his home. And my mom used to cook for him, and he was a big inspiration for us all had artists, actually. So
he's an incredible man, absolutely, and I'm sure it must feel nice to have your work exhibit in the same space and in relationship with his work as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And for anyone listening who might want to keep up to date with the work that you're doing and maybe see more of it, is there anywhere that they can go online to find more about you and your practice?
Yeah, well, my sister is in the process of building me a new website. I unfortunately got hacked and had to get
so sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it they got my Instagram and my my website, so in the process of rebuilding both of those. My new website will be jessebrillinartist.com, and I'll still be on Instagram as Jesse Brillin, but I've yet to post anything. I'm working on it.
Yeah.
My Facebook, I like, if people like Facebook, it's Marla Wiley Brillin, Hi to Artist. And then on Instagram, it's just Marla Wiley.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I'll be sure to follow you both on Instagram after this. And I hope you have a really beautiful day. Thank you so much for speaking with me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It was great.
Welcome back. We just heard Changing Light, and that is by the Ironsides. And before that, we heard an interview with Jesse Brillin and Marlo Wiley Brillin about their exhibition at the Bill Reed Gallery of Northwest Coast Art, which is currently on view until October 15th. And yeah, I know I said it before, but I will say it again. It's probably one of the best exhibitions I've been to this year, and it really made my summer. And the Bill Reed Gallery is worth a visit at all times. It was my first time going, and I will definitely be back. I learned a heck of a lot about Bill Reed as an artist and as a man, including the fact that he was a radio presenter for many, many years, which I'm not sure how I missed that. But it was a great piece of knowledge to carry away with me, in addition to an incredible exhibition from the two artists who I had the pleasure of speaking with. I really hope that you enjoyed the interview and that you're considering visiting their exhibition. I do have more music for us to hear to kind of bring us to a nice close for our show today. I'm going to keep us going here with a track called Bloom. This is by Louise Burns, and we'll hear more music after that, and I'll tell you about it when you hear my voice again.